Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy, recording live over at Skull Rock. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan. Welcome back to our Stranger Things podcast, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, my favorite holiday.
Yeah, it's not Valentine's Day when we're recording, but on the day this episode comes out, it will be Valentine's Day. So Stacy loves this holiday. I think it's fine. Like,
damn.
It's an excuse to, you know, eat candy. I love chocolate. I love conversation hearts. Like, they're the best. And yeah, it's cool. Like, love is fun.
Love is love, man. You know what? Like, you guys can't see it, but behind me is my Gladiator 2 poster. Look at that Valentine's Day garland.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's wrapped around the frame. I love sparkly red.
Yeah.
So many. It looks like if the Hawkins Gymnasium had a Valentine's Day dance. Literally, it looks like that inside my living room.
Yeah, I love that. And pink is my favorite color, so that's a very Valentine's Day color, too.
Love that.
I'm here for it. So we, last year, did a fun Valentine's Day episode, and it was like, you know, we had just started the episode, we had just started the podcast, and it was still like a baby podcast, and we talked about our top 10 like ships and duos, so like platonic and romantic duos on the show. And it was so fun. It's like one of my favorite memories of our podcast last year. So we definitely wanted to do another Valentine's Day special episode this year, especially since it's dropping on Valentine's Day. So that's so cool. But before we get into that, we have a little bit to chat about. So we wanted to just update you on a couple things. So what's been going on with Mr. Joseph Quinn, Stacy?
Oh, Mr. JQ. He actually was down in Alabama with the rest of the Fantastic Four cast. And they did this really cool, like, launch of the trailer. You know, get it? Launch spaceship. Dun-dun-dun, cymbal sound, put that in. And Megan shaking her head. But basically, you know, it's a big deal when a Marvel trailer drops. And a lot of people had been really looking forward to seeing what, you know, the characters looked like. And this was just a teaser trailer, too. And it dropped, and it looks fantastic. I didn't even mean that. Oh, man. But no, it really does. I'm not the biggest Marvel fan, but anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge supporter of the 1994 film that never got released due to funding. They shot the whole movie and just never released it, something that's kind of common now, Batgirl. And I'm
and hopefully not Cold Storage. Like,
no, don't even. No, don't. Shh. Never. No. That was such a good book. But no, going back to Fantastic Four, I love the unreleased movie because I'm a huge fan of Jay Underwood, who played Johnny Storm, who plays Bug, who is my tattoo, Megan, from Uncle Buck. And he played OG Johnny Storm. But people our age, we know Chris Evans also played Johnny Storm, as did Michael B. Jordan. But this is almost like a prequel. It's going to take place in the 60s. It's very retro looking, but the visual effects look amazing. And Megan, what did you think of a blue-eyed blonde, like Dolly Parton blonde, Joseph Quinn?
He's so dreamy. Like, just the cutest. I'm totally here for it. So
He's a chameleon.
He's such a chameleon. Like, so just, you know, seeing him transform into this new character is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it looked great. I don't really know anything about Fantastic Four or this like franchise at all. So I'll be going into it pretty open-minded, but I love space, you know, and we know there's going to be some space stuff.
There's going to be some space stuff. Iconic.
And,
but
it
was so cool seeing him in that.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fanfare for a movie, like going to like a literal rocket launch place. Like,
amazing. And they gave really great interviews. It was really cute seeing them because they do kind of act like a family, take photos. But it was really cool. And that's something that I'm really pumped about to see this summer. But I don't know, just Johnny Storm forever close to my heart. So just ever since they kind of like that rumor kind of floated out right after the release of Volume 2, Summer 2022, I've been just keeping my fingers and toes crossed. So seeing the footage of him just, you know, floating up into the sky and being lit on fire. Just, I don't know, be still my fangirl heart. But he actually then moseyed on down to Miami, where he did his convention at MegaCon. We know Jamie was there as well. A few of our friends are down there, people that we know, and they've been reporting back. They said, you know, JQ's just being sweet as always, and it's always great to see him and Jamie. They're like two brothers, just kind of joking about. They said it's really packed, but just seeing people getting Fantastic Four and Quiet Place stuff signed now, it makes me so happy. So cannot wait to see more photos and footage of him at the con.
Yeah, super cool. And another little update is we've been enjoying following our Joe Keery as Joe on his tour. So since we recorded last, he has gone to the Laneway Festival. So
yes,
the first night was in Auckland, New Zealand, and then he flew over to Australia and has played in Brisbane and Sydney so far. So he's played 3 festival shows. He's still got a week or so left of hanging out in Australia. So we're just loving watching him kind of live his best life down under. And
mate.
Yeah, there's been some cowboy hats and whew, I'm here for it.
Yep.
I'm not really okay.
Your fangirl heart. Yeah.
Yeah. But also like the energy at these shows and just his energy. And he looks like he's just having a blast and just, you know, getting to do this thing that he's wanted to do for so long and get this music out there. And yeah, we're just having a really fun time following this tour. And we might have something a little special plan, so stay tuned for something to help us follow along with this tour and, you know, just talk about Joe more, because who doesn't want more talking about Joe? I could just talk about Joe all day. So stay tuned for that. So let's get into our Valentine's Day episode. Well, so now that we've gotten talking about our Valentine's out of the way.
True.
So let's get into our special Valentine's Day episode, which is we're going to talk about our top 10 moments that stole our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So we've each picked 5. Thanks, Stacey, for this sweet idea for this episode.
And what can I say? I just love Valentine's Day.
And we just love this show. Like, this show literally has our heart.
Thank you.
Yep. There have been so many moments that have stolen our hearts and, like, helped this show just, like, you know, worm its way in there.
It's true.
So we're going to talk about, yeah, all these sweet little moments on the show.
So number 5 for me is Robin and Vicky make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. This was in season 4, the episode The Piggyback, and it's kind of the 2 days later in the aftermath. And there's a lot of like heavy, kind of ominous, like kind of stuff that's going on, sad, you know, between Dustin talking to Eddie's uncle, you know, the emotional reunion, Elle seeing Max in the hospital. There's a lot of heavy shit going on. So I liked that we get to see Dustin, Steve, and Robin go down to the gym to, like, help out all the earthquake, you know, survivors. And they're kind of volunteering their time and helping out. And Robin is on food duty, and lo and behold, she finds out that she's actually paired in with Vicky, and Vicky actually matches her energy perfect, and she just nervously babbles about, you know, her boyfriend and confirms that she does like Fast Times, and it's just a really cute moment, and Robin for once is kind of like playing it cool. And they just share this really cute moment of them just both kind of like bonding a little bit and making sandwiches. And just Steve is just,
yeah, Steve just smiling. Looking on.
He's so proud. And just the fact that there's like a t-shirt like folded over his shoulder. And I love all the memes that are like, he didn't know at this point that Vicky and her boyfriend had been broken up. So look at Steve proudly watching his best friend be a homewrecker. But oh, it makes me that. So excited for season 5, because we do know that Amy Beth plays Vicky is going to have a larger role. And we got to see them interact, Maya and Amy Beth's chemistry. So this, you know, it's the second scene they shared, but it's just such a great way to almost like bookend that season. It's so sweet.
Yeah. And we had talked about that couple in our episode last year, because they're definitely on our list of like sweet couples. And they have just a few scenes together, like the scene in the marching band and the gym. And then we have the scene where Robin sees her and her boyfriend at the war zone. And then Steve and Robin have that conversation where Steve is like kind of trying to encourage Robin. But Robin's like, it's not all about what was the line? We actually
I'm
used
not
it
talking
for,
about romance.
Yeah. Not talking about failed romance. Like yeah. That was our episode title when we talked about
which you have to like really
Robin.
Appreciate that in that moment, you know, this isn't the moment that makes the list, but I do love that Steve is like, I still like to believe in a happy ending, you know.
Yeah.
He's trying to like jeer his friend up because that war zone scene was heartbreaking. So it's just really nice to see Robin actually get a chance one-on-one where she is actually more relaxed and she realizes, oh man, like she matches my energy perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's a sweet tender moment right towards the end of a very heartbreaking episode. So definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I love that.
What about
too.
You?
Okay, so my number 5 is a very sweet, like, found family friendship scene. And it is the scene at the end of the quarry with Elle, Dustin, and Mike and their hug. Like, I just feel like this scene kind of embodies like the theme of friendship in this show, because that was, again, right after this really tough, scary moment where the bullies have found Mike and Dustin, and literally Mike almost steps off of a cliff to save his friend Dustin from being like hurt by these bullies. And like, again, like, we hate, sometimes people hate on Mike. Sometimes Stacy hates on Mike.
I'm side-eyeing you right now.
But like, there are a lot of really good Mike Wheeler moments. Like, he's definitely like over-hated for sure. But like, anyway.
Season 1 Mike all day, because he did step off that ledge.
Yeah. Season 1 Mike, season 2 Mike, we're here for. He just, we'll have to like, you'll get justified as we talk about season 3 with his little bitchy behavior, but
just acting like a bitch.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
I'll defend Mike. I'll defend Mike though until the end. So anyway, Elle comes and like saves him, obviously, and this is where she confesses also to them that she's the one that opened the gate. And you said that this episode is called
The Monster.
So it's from season 1, called The Monster, and she says, like, I'm the monster. Mm. I opened the gate. And that's, like, another theme that continues throughout the show into season 4. But, like, them comforting her and her comforting
that
them.
Hug.
And just that group hug. Like,
oh.
I mean, how can you not, like, just be, like, it's so heartwarming to see them, like, share that group hug. And it's just such an iconic moment, like, right there framed by, like, the background of the quarry and everything. So
I get chills every time that moment happens, because it's just so sweet. It's so innocent. And it kind of just, in if anybody ever said, like, what is Stranger Things about? I'm like, it's about friendship, you know? And then if they were like, well, how could you sum it up in one image? It would probably be that image of them all holding each other. It's so sweet. So that was a great pick.
Yeah. So, and I love like all of the moments between like romantic couples, but I think the show does platonic and friendship so well also.
Very well.
So I wanted to make sure we talked about some of those moments.
Love that. So my next moment is actually from season 1 as well. It's in the final episode, The Upside Down. And I always thought this was so sweet. It's when Dustin and Lucas are looking for the chocolate pudding and Mike is alone with Elle. And he's kind of talking to her. And it starts off so sweet. Him just telling her, like, you can come live with us. My mom can make you anything you want. She's like, Eggos. And he's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, more than that, you know, she can make you anything you want. And then he kind of, like, nervously, as like a 10, 11 year old would do, kind of like sputters off about the snowball dance. And, you know, and she's like, oh, well, if we lived all together, you're like, I'd be like Nancy, I'd be like your sister. And he's like, no, no. And it's just so cute and awkward and adorable, him trying to explain, like, no, like, I like you differently. And he invites her to the snowball dance and explains what it is. And then he just, like, gets his courage up and he leans forward and he kisses her real quick on the lips. And it's just such a sweet moment. The music swells. And I just love the stunned but then, like, smile on Eleven's face, because this whole first season, your heart is breaking at what has been stolen and what has been done to this little girl. And she gets to have, like, this little, like, cute milestone. And just so innocent and so sweet. And just shows you, like, they were babies when they were in season one. So we got to watch them grow up.
Yeah, it's so sweet. Like, and that sweet moment balanced with, like, Lucas and Dustin's comedy in that moment. And
warning.
Now the chocolate pudding.
Yeah, I knew she was hoarding this.
That was actually an episode title also. I found the chocolate pudding is our Dustin Henderson episode. So
how right you are. Yeah.
Just a little throwback to some of our other episodes. But I think that's super cute. And I'm going to talk about a scene that kind of connects to that as well, because then at the end of season two, we get the snowball dance. So it's like a whole episode or a whole season in between. So he mentions this snowball dance, but then we think that Elle hasn't made it. Like, we think that Elle is kind of, like, you know, disintegrated when she defeats the Demogorgon. So, like, she didn't get to go to the snowball.
She didn't get her Cinderella moment.
Right. So it's very satisfying at the end of season two for them to have that moment and her to have that, like, entrance. So I love that part of the snowball dance. But then also even Dustin and Nancy, their little sweet dance. So, like, all of the little couples at the snowball dance, we love Dustin and Nancy as a duo. We've talked a lot about that, too. Like,
so cute.
So adorable. And I keep, like, saying that I think they're going to have more interactions in season five with some of the photos that we've seen. So I'm super excited for that.
Brains. They're playing, like, the brains of the group.
Yes.
So it was really fun to see them really interact in season four, putting their heads together. But that sweet moment of her dancing with him and her just being like, you know, you're always my favorite.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And then, of course, Lucas and Max as well at the snowball. Mm-hmm. And Max gives Lucas a little kiss as well. Aww. And that ends up, you know, being in her, like, memories of what's kind of, like, keeping her safe from Vecna. So that whole snowball dance scene is definitely very heartwarming. So it definitely stole my heart.
Be still your heart. This episode is from the very last episode of season four, The Piggyback. And it starts off with, you know, Hopper kind of, like, they're still in Russia and it's freezing cold, and they're basically, the others are off doing stuff, like, with the helicopter and the radio. So they get a moment alone and they're, like, changing into their Hulk Hogan shirts. Jesus. And, you know, I love that it starts off with, like, you know, she sees how badly hurt he is and how, you know, skinny he is. And she kind of starts having this, you know, talk with him. And he starts talking about how he's been dreaming about that date they made. And she at first goes like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. He pulls Stacy. He just starts talking about the food at Enzo's. And I got to tell you, I feel like that's really what kept him going.
Yeah. The bread thinking sticks about and those the lasagna. Breadsticks.
Yeah. That was what got him through, guys, even breaking his own ankle.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, she, you know, they start getting kind of flirty with their talk, you know. And next thing you know, the buildup that had been going on with these two. And it wasn't crammed down our faces, you know, but it showed that they had had a history. You know, Hopper got married to his ex that he had Sarah with. She ended up with Lonnie. They took different paths, but he always had her back and her well-being. And then you see, you know, he kind of makes a few little jabs about Bob in season two, but then obviously respects him. But he's there for her at the end during the snowball dance, you know, with her grieving Bob. And then season three is when you can clearly tell he has it bad for her, you know? And I just love their, like, bitchy, like, back and forth and stuff, because it's two people that clearly do want to jump in the sack together. And Murray called it out. But then when season four finally happens, like, I do love the moment when he first lays eyes on her from the massacre at Hawkins Lab. That's great, you know? But the moment of them finally kissing, it's super fucking hot, even though, you know, they probably smoke disgusting. But you know what? I'd like to think he was thinking about those breadsticks. And you know what? It was just time to go for it. So just all that, what do they call them? Jopper?
Yeah, jopper.
All that jopper sexual chemistry and energy, it paid off. It was a really hot kiss.
Yeah, yeah. I do love the moment, like, when they first see each other, too. Like, when she finds him in the prison and, like, they first kind of, like, I think they just hug at that time. But, like,
and it's done in, it's, like, slow motion.
Yeah, it's very powerful and, like, romantic. But, yeah, the kiss definitely was, like, on my list, too. But then I didn't want any duplicates, so I had to pick a different one. But
took one for the team, yeah. Girl. Thanks.
We needed, you know, a nice even 10 for the list, yeah. But completely agree. Joyce and Hopper are, spoiler alert, our number one from our list from the Valentine's Day episode last year. It's a spoiler if you never listened to it, I guess. But
sorry, guys.
Go listen to it. Yeah. So my number three is also super hilarious, but in season three, Dustin comes back from camp, right? And he has had a fantastic time at camp.
Great
because
time,
yeah. I mean, he seems like the kid that would love science camp, so great. But
you get to make the forever clock.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. And this radio tower, what's it called?
Cerebral.
Cerebral.
It's an X-Men reference.
Oh, okay, thank you. Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
So he also had a great time at camp because he met someone at camp. So
yes.
He met a girl named Susie, who is now
with
his girlfriend. Yes. And he tells all of his friends about Susie, hotter than Phoebe Cates. And they don't really believe him. Like,
yeah.
He's not able to reach her on the radio when
she could be having dinner, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was just busy, you know. And in the final episode of the season, the Battle of Starkort, right, we get to meet this Susie, finally. So,
the fact that she actually existed, too.
Yes. Just the fact that she actually existed was, like, so funny. And they actually went to Weathertop to access this radio so that, like, they would be able to reach everyone, right, and stay in communication. But it just turned out that they needed to figure out this number, Planck's constant, which Murray thought he knew, but apparently he did not. So luckily, Dustin had someone else he could call to help save the world and calls Susie, and she exists, and she's home in her bedroom, but she has a little request before she'll give him Planck's constant, and that request is a little song, because apparently they're both huge fans of Neverending Story.
And you know what? This might have, you know, delayed things and maybe cost some people their lives, but you know what? I would even say it's probably one of the top comedic moments.
It is. It's so funny. So hilarious. So it's sweet and it's funny and it's just, like, kind of comes out of nowhere because, like, suddenly the characters are just, like, singing, but just, like, the reactions of all of the other characters to this happening is comedy gold. Like, so especially, like, Erica and then Steve and Robin in the back of the car, like,
it's Hopper just hanging his head, just
yeah,
so disgusting.
Yeah. So that was definitely one of my top moments, and they're one of our favorite couples. And I got to get a photo op with the two of them in October.
So I'm
just, like, you know, floored that, like, happened, because
I feel like because of them
amazing.
Now, the Neverending Story should be, like, a top pick for a duet at karaoke.
Oh,
because
yeah,
they sang the shit out of that song. It was amazing. All right. So my next one, number two, is when Max and Lucas, they make their movie date in the episode The Piggyback.
So
and what's
sweet.
So sweet about this moment is it's done without any dialogue. And they're obviously keeping quiet in the Creel house. They have their blue lanterns and stuff. And Erica's upstairs looking around. And they're trying to like just wait for a sign that clearly Vecna is back. And you see Lucas, they're kind of communicating through notepads and, you know, magic marker. And, you know, they're like, Max kind of first goes like, I'm glad you're here. And he's like, yeah, I'm glad too. And they kind of smiled because clearly you'd learned they had broken up. And, you know, Max kind of pushed him away. And he then, like, you know, decides to risk it. And he writes, you know, movie Friday. And at first she looks a little annoyed. And he looks a little discouraged. And she takes, you know, a few extra seconds longer to write her message back. He tries to look and she holds it back. And then she does this adorable, it makes such a good tattoo, guys. It's this adorable doodle of stick figure Lucas and her at the movie theater, which, of course, you know, we have the visual of them in season three seeing Day of the Dead together. And just how cute it is, them smiling and stuff. And what really just kicks you in the face at the end is when he's reading to her when she's in the coma. And he has that doodle taped up to the wall. So even though it's associated with such a sad, sad thing that happens, right before then, it was nice to see these two characters that just share so many great moments throughout the entire series. And we get to see their cute little, you know, innocent, you know, teenage, preteen love blossom. But seeing them, like, Lucas still cares for her after their breakup, that scene of them in the RV and her telling him, like, you know, I'll just run to the light, and him knowing that he's part of her light memories. That moment of them communicating, making the movie date, it just tugs on my heartstrings. It's bittersweet, but it is such a sweet moment between the two of them.
Yes, we love Lucas and Max. I love Lucas and Max so much, but that just made me think of something. So maybe a parallel that could happen in season five, maybe it's wishful thinking, but in season one, you just mentioned Mike, like, asking Elle to go to the snowball dance. And then Elle kind of like, you know, we think she bites the dust, right?
Oh,
but then
okay.
At the end of season two, they go to the snowball dance together. So
they have to go see
Max
a goddamn movie.
Max and Lucas
movie.
Are going to get their movie date at the end of season five. I'm
they
calling
need to.
It. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to cry.
They need to. These poor kids just want to go see a movie together.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I love them so much. And they're so sweet. Oh, and just like we've talked about them a lot, I think, but like just Lucas, you know, continuing to be there for her, even though she's kind of like dumped him multiple times and has like broken up with him like for good, basically, at the beginning of season four. And like how she continues to be supportive of him, listening to his game on the radio.
I know, it's like little things like that.
Yeah, yeah, those little details are just what makes them such a strong couple. And like, yeah, we want to root for them for forever. So, all right. My next one is a little controversial, I think.
Okay.
But you were talking about like when I first watched this, right? And I don't
yes.
necessarily remember when I first watched all of these scenes. But I kind of do remember when I first watched this. So it's in season two. And it's a couple that is very polarizing. And it's a moment that's very polarizing because it's a little ambiguous of whether or not Miss Nancy has officially broken up with our boy Steve. But
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Just, yep, keep going.
I do really, really like the scene at Murray's house.
What happens, Megan?
Well, you know, they use the pullout.
Thank you so much.
But the tension between them has been building, like, again, for like episodes, like from the beginning of season one, really.
Yeah.
Like the tension has been building between them, and they have so many sweet moments together, and they get each other so much, and they're going through this like traumatizing thing, and he's being so supportive, and like Murray kind of calls them out and like basically like makes them confront the feelings that they have for each other, and how, yes, she likes Steve, but it doesn't seem like she really loves Steve. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it, like, if they roll back on that and get her back together with Steve, I am going to be a little upset. Like,
Me too.
Do understand that some people like Steve and Nancy, and I respect that, because
yeah.
I can also see the like sweet moments and like the chemistry that they have as well.
Yeah.
But like, but to call her out and say that she doesn't love Steve and then have her sleep with Jonathan, I love Jonathan. Like, I like, I love that relationship too. So it's like, it's just so, they've created this love triangle that, like, I don't know, I live for a good love triangle, even though I hate a good love triangle.
Yeah.
Like, I have such a love-hate relationship with love triangles, but, like, I don't, it creates good tension.
I feel like it makes great tension, and also it shows what great chemistry these characters and actors clearly share, because we
yeah.
know that Charlie and Natalia, they're partners now. But, and it's great to see, you know, they met, they fell in love on the show. And that is kind of a hot scene, I will admit. When
it
like,
is hot.
They
when they like
open
go
up
to
the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Girl. And like, Jonathan goes for it. Like,
yeah.
Good for you, baby doll. And it's
like
a super
heart
hot
palpitations
kiss.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. And like, even though like, you know, I am joking, you know, but I do believe truly she did cheat on Steve. But you know what? They weren't meant for each other. They weren't right for each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe they're just trying to show the Duffer brothers they're really good writers, because long distance is hard.
Yeah.
And especially in the 80s, before all the technology. So it kind of almost shows that, you know, maybe Nancy had a wandering eye and was looking at Steve like a puppy dog, because maybe she did remember, this was the Steve I fell in love with. Look at how great he is with the kids. He's so brave. He's so fucking handsome, shirtless, you know, and she remembers the good parts, if you know what I mean. And also, like, they're trauma bonding again, you know, and it's kind of making her think back. And that's why I love that in season one, she was still with Steve. They didn't follow the cliche thing that should go with the outcast. And then in season two, it made sense that, you know, they would fall in love under these circumstances, and that just Steve wasn't the right boyfriend. He's a great guy. He's just not the right boyfriend for her. And then in season four, I totally agree. I'm like, they haven't seen each other. They clearly, she thinks she knows what they're going to do for their future. Jonathan wants something else. So it makes sense that it is complicated. And you saw their reunion, you know, they ran into each other's arms
yeah,
and
yeah.
Steve looked like a crushed puppy dog.
Right.
But I feel like, whatever they do decide to do with season five, I trust it. It could work either way. But I'm kind of more on your side.
Yeah.
I would rather see her end up either alone or with Jonathan.
Right.
Because they love each other, you know?
And then, I mean, I have to be honest, the first time I watched season four, I was like swooning over Steve in the RV
yep.
with Nancy, and Steve like confessing
what he says
in
to
the
her?
Woods.
Yeah.
Like, I was swooning over that too. Like, so
yeah.
I totally get like the Steve and Nancy shippers as well. I can
yeah.
see where they're coming from, and I can see their chemistry as well. So I just want Steve to be happy. Nancy to be happy. I want them all to be happy. Like, whatever's
yeah.
going to make them happy, and I guess we'll trust the writers to get that right. But we got fan fiction, you know, if they don't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's fine. That's
we're fine.
Everybody's great. Everybody's doing great. All right. So my number one pick, drum roll, please.
Speaking of the RV.
Speaking of the RV, you know what, Nancy? Maybe you should stay with Jonathan, because in the episode, Papa, what ends up happening, episode 8 of season 4, Steve, you know, gets into the RV at Eddie's trailer park because they need, like, a vehicle getting away, you know, a car that can hold them all to get
yes,
to the war
it's
zone.
It's not exactly a car.
Yeah, not exactly a car.
And it's not exactly mine.
Which I love. It's just such a comedic scene. But I love Eddie starts hot wiring the RV with
uh-huh.
the owners literally sitting in lawn chairs right outside, totally unaware that this is happening, and everyone's sneaking through the window. And Steve, you know, is talking to Eddie. And then I love that Robin comes over right before he's about to start it up. And she's like, Eddie, I'm not totally comfortable with you driving. And he's like, oh, I'm just starting her. Harrington's got her. And then the best ad lib of all time. Thank you, Joseph Quinn, you MVP. He leans in and he just like the little flirty is, he goes, "Don't you, big boy?" And just the look of confusion and just like stunned expressions that Maya and Joe give, because it's natural, but it's so hot, it's so cute, and it birthed Steedee and a million fanfics. And I know that isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
But even if it was just a playful, friendly, funny moment, I love that moment because Eddie just throws Steve off. And then Steve has to basically drive a moving house with everyone screaming. And,
in his bare,
you know,
feet at that.
In his bare feet with clear as clear water blasting and the owners just like banging like raptors onto the RV. It's chaotic. It's crazy. But for us, you know, fans, if you know, you know, it's a flirty, funny moment that I love between Steve Harrington and Eddie Munson. And it just goes to show you like what great friendship and possibly romantic for us, you know, dreamers, for these two characters to share.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny the chemistry that they have between each other as just like characters in the show.
Just bros.
Even if
you
you're
know?
Not going to like, yeah, ship them as romantic, but like just the, just, yeah, like the bros, like you said, like just them like ragging on each other. And like, I, from the first time I watched that, which I told you I didn't remember any of the times that I watched it.
Goddamn liar.
I'm rolling that back. I literally rewound it and watched it three times. Like the first time I watched that episode, I was obsessed with that scene. Like just
you were
like
wait a second.
It was perfection. And I didn't even think steady. Like I didn't even think about that until like weeks later. Like
it was just such a great moment.
Yeah, it was just such a great moment, and I was like, you know, loving those two characters, and like, I mean, they're hot. Like,
yeah,
So yeah, that was definitely heart palpitations there too. Loved it.
Loved it.
All right.
What is your final pick?
This is my number one, and I think you're a big fan of this scene as well. So this is from season three, and again, like you said, the writers are so good and the actors are so good. So throughout season three, of course, we're still heartbroken for Steve that he was dumped in season two, and he's kind of like striking out with all the girls at the mall, and there's this other pretty girl that he's working with, right? So like you can totally understand like he's sort of starting to develop a crush, like and there's a really sweet moment where they're kind of like on the top of the roof and they like grab each other's hands, and that's just so sweet. And like you kind of think, oh, like are they gonna be a thing? And in the bathroom, once they're coming down from their high from the Russian drugs and the torture,
their guts out.
They're sitting and they're just having this heart to heart, and it starts with Steve sort of starting to confess that he's developing feelings for Robin, and then it turns into this like beautiful coming out scene of her telling him that like that's not going to happen because she doesn't really like him that way. And she's so brave in like telling him that, because like it is the 80s and like she doesn't know how he's going to react. And he takes it so well. He like jokes about it, and they don't let that come between the relationship that they've built. It just like continues and stays strong. They decide that they need to get a job together. Like that. So that moment and that whole scene is just like just sobbing, like so beautiful, and definitely steals your heart and just shows you like all of the different kinds of love that there are. Yeah. And this show just does that so well, I think. So
it's definitely one of my favorite moments for sure, because originally Robin was written as Steve's new love interest, and it was Maya Hawke that was like, guys, I have this really good idea, and I love that they went that route. I mean, Maya and Joe, they have such great chemistry, but it's great. Like, I love that it's platonic with a capital P, and they're like brother and sister with their rapport, but, you know, he pours his heart out. And unfortunately, she's just like, nope, sorry, kiddo. But she's so brave. And Maya's acting in that scene is so well. I know we've talked about it before, but she looks terrified when he gets quiet. And she's like, you overdose over there? He's like, no, just thinking. And even though he was shot down, he just instantly accepts her. Like you said, jokes around. And she knows he's a safe space. And it's just so nice to see them together. Even in season four, the fact that he drives her to work and stuff. But I think that moment in season three, the Battle of Star Court, it's just, it's a beautiful coming out scene. But also it shows that the Duffers, they, you know, they pull the fast one and we got the most beautiful tale of platonic love that we possibly could. And it's probably one of my favorite friendships on the show. So,
yeah,
love
I mean, because the way they wrote it, they gave us these little moments that like made you
believe this is how it's gonna go,
even on Robin's side, because she has that little moment where she's telling Steve about like how she was obsessed with him, and then it comes back that like
I was obsessed with your swag, baby doll.
Yeah,
she not
was
you.
Obsessed with like
Tammy Thompson
wanting Tammy to look at her like that.
Classic.
It was so cute and good comedy like there too with Steve with the whole Muppet.
Do you know they're credited on their IMDb? It's like soundtrack, and it's that episode for singing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh my God.
Maya and him have that credit.
That's so funny. Yeah, I guess that is another musical moment in season three.
There we go.
we don't have just Susie Poo and Dusty Bun.
Just Erica. Enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a really great list. It just made me very happy. It was like lots of endorphins, all of this love.
Love. Just, you know, glittery red hearts for everybody. And like we said, you know, there's platonic love, there's romantic love, but this show shows so many moments that just steal your heart. So those are our favorites.
Yep. Let's get into, I guess, any production updates.
So the Duffer Brothers, I guess they were at an event with Caleb, actually.
Yeah.
And they were answering some questions, and they actually said that they are ahead of schedule. And they are really trying to aim. And they were like, it's most likely. Because there was a bit of a rumor, you know, with all the post and the visual effects, that it might, like, we might even get, you know, a half released in 2026, and fans were getting a little nervous, and they said, nope, it's going to be 2025. We're ahead of schedule. And then I guess they made another statement that they are planning, if there are any spinoffs of the show, it won't have to do with any of the original characters, that their stories will be done. And I know some people were bummed out, but I posted on my Instagram a few days ago in my stories, they know how to write these amazing characters we love so much. They're going to know how to end their storylines.
Yeah.
So trust the process. It's going to be full circle. It's a bummer that you wouldn't see them again, but never say never. But they were like, nope, it's, there are any spinoffs, it's going to be all new original stories, nothing to do with the OG cast.
Yeah. And I think that's probably for the best. Like,
me too.
I'm
sure. A lady always knows when to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sure that, like you said, the stories are going to come full circle. Everything's going to be wrapped up, and we don't need to, like, you know, draw it out by, like, continuing with that. Like, we'll let the fanfic writers.
they got us. They're taking care of us. There.
we don't need the Duffer Brothers to write these characters anymore. Yeah, so that's kind of cool news that we know for sure that season five is coming in 2025. Like, no doubt about it. I'm sure Netflix, you know, was like, this is happening. But yeah, I'm excited. All right. So let's talk about merch. I think you have some merch that you wanted to talk about this week.
I do. Real quick, the lovely Leviathan did a killer Kiri portrait for me.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
Favorite photo. It's just, it's amazing. I actually saw, I'm going to actually send you a photo of it. And it's this diorama that I thought was real. And I thought, because it was like an icon on some YouTuber who makes like little dioramas. And he literally was like, I didn't make that. He goes, I think that might be AI or something. Yeah. But I was like, would you make it? And he's like, no. So it was, it's kind of how it went. But it's this, I'll send it to you. It looks so cool if it was real. Somebody poured resin. So they did the Lover's Lake scene. And there are these little figurines. That, so it shows Watergate opening up at the bottom of it. And it's sucking Steve in. And then above, because it looks like it's on water, is the little like canoe with Nancy, Eddie, and Robin on it. I was like, take my money. I want it. And the guy was like, I didn't make that. That's weird that that's the icon of my video. But he makes, I'll have to find out the name of the artist, but he makes like Eddie Munson on his trailer. It looks awesome. But I was like, but I want the Lover's Lake one. And he was like, that doesn't exist. So I was like, willing to like spend an ungodly embarrassing amount of money. I'm like, take my money. I want it. And he's like, no, I don't do that. I don't pour resin molds. So I'm mourning that, but I will send it to you. So when this episode airs, Megan, we'll put it on the stories, but so pissed. But no, so that was a disappointment. But I am pretty happy because my good friend over in the UK, Starry Hat, she ended up sending me this Stranger Things energy drink, okay? And it's from the UK, and they don't mess around. Everything is, like, jacked up, and it says, like, energy, and it just says 8. What does that mean? 8 grams?
I don't know what like, that means.
Like, no idea. But Netflix released it, and it's called...
Show me the label. Maybe that's how many calories are in it. I want to see the like the nutrition label.
It's all backwards.
I don't
Fuck.
Know what that means. I can't see it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's a taste of the upside down, and it's star quart strawberry, like lychee.
Yeah.
That's milk, right?
No, it's a fruit. Lychee, I think.
Tell me Cece doesn't eat all her food groups without telling me. Rift. So there's like 2 flavors in one. I don't know how this is going to be, but I'm going to try it.
Okay. So you have, before you open it, like you have to turn it upside down to see the other part. Turn it upside down.
Watch, this is carbonated.
Oh, okay. Lychee Rift.
Lychee.
Got it. Star Quart strawberry. Got it. Okay. This is fun.
All right. It smells like fruit. All
okay.
Right, here we go.
Fruity. How does it smell? It smells good, though?
Yeah, it smells
does
like,
it smell
like strawberries.
Like an energy drink? You know, energy drinks have that smell.
That smell. That
chemically.
That ripple smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really you shouldn't be drinking this on a work night.
Yeah.
All right. It tastes like a flatter, like Red Bull. Like, it's not as sweet as a Red Bull, but,
Do you think it's the carbonation just like in shipping got shaken up too much or?
Maybe. I mean, I'm surprised this thing didn't explode on me. But yeah, she sent me one can that was already open for the display. Looks like I have 2 now. But yeah, this is, you know, it just looks like it's clear. It doesn't look like, it just looks like clear sparkling water. So it's not pink or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, that's enough of that.
You don't like it? No.
I don't like it.
Is it fruity?
Does this look like the spokeswoman for this energy drink?
Is it like sour or?
No, it's just, it's like flat, like, I almost said sewer water, but I feel like that would be really mean to say.
Yeah.
It just feels,
No.
As I take another
does
drink.
Does it taste like the upside down?
It tastes like what upside down? Like it tastes
like the
like
liquid, like
snot.
Yeah, going through the upside down.
It tastes like if I licked those vines.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. You know. I mean,
so
this
accurate.
This is coming from the person who tried that Coca-Cola that tastes like Oreos, and I'm like, this is disgusting. And as I take the photo, there's like this much left of it. So I'm still going in for more sips, but out of 5 Demogorgons, I'd give it like 2.
All right. Well, sorry to the people in the UK if you really like this energy drink, but I guess that's great for us Americans who can't really get it, that it's not that great. So we don't have anything to worry about. Do you have any other merch that you wanted to talk about this week?
Basically, I got the Levitating 11 Funko Pop. I got her off Mercari for $7. That was a deal. And it just actually hit me that I do not own one Jim Hopper Funko Pop.
Oh, yeah. That's probably something you need to remedy.
So,
get that
I
gold
mean,
hopper.
Could you imagine? So many collectors would be like, Stacy, really?
And she would take him out of the box.
Oh, I'd take him out of the box instantly. So many people would be getting migraines. Just be like, no, Stacy. That's what everybody says when they see my Steve Comic-Con exclusive in his little sailor suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, what would you recommend as a hopper? Should I get season one in his uniform? Should I get him going for his David Enzos? I mean, you know I'm going to end up getting them all. But
yeah,
like,
I think,
what should be my first hopper?
I think I like the season three with the shirt, the colorful shirt.
Right,
that one.
I kind of like it too.
Yeah. It's probably,
you know, it's
favorite.
Cutting edge, as he says,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Exactly. Cutting
so
edge
that's
stuff.
What I got.
Okay, so that's your goal. That's your next thing you want to get. All right.
I want to get a Hopper Pop. Yep.
Nice.
Well, that was a ton of fun, and I wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. I know I'm going to be living my best life today. I mean, it's all about love, you know, even if it's platonic love, you know, even if it's puppy love.
All you need is love.
Where can they find us, Megan?
You can find us mostly on Instagram at Skull Rock Broadcast. So definitely chat with us over there. Give us a follow. Hang out with us. And make sure that you rate, review our podcast. That helps a lot. And yeah, just, you know, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/SkullRockBroadcast. And we also have bonus content over there. So come hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. All right, so over and out.
Over and out.
Eddie, I'm not sure I love the idea of you driving.
Oh, I'm starting to suffer. Harrington's got her. Don't you, big boy?
And we're back. We are here for our secret segment where we talk about fan fiction. So fan fiction is not your thing and that's not how you want to interact with the show. Then turn back now, turn us off, catch us next week because we love fan fiction and we love Steve Harrington and Eddie Munson. Those are our, you know, favorite couple to ever not exist on the show. And We just love reading about them. And yeah, I did not do a lot of reading this week because
me
I was
neither.
Mostly distracted by Joe Keery and his hips. So
ooh, that boy can put on a show.
Yeah, like I said earlier, like the energy at these shows, and it's just been really fun to like follow along with like the videos and photos that are coming from people that are going to the shows. So yeah, I've been watching a lot of that, and I am still reading the baseball Steve fic. So I have read a little bit this
too.
Week, but I've just been like slowly making my way through that. So that has been all I've been reading this week. Have you been reading anything this week?
Yes, I've been reading. I'm still finishing up Money, Power, Glory. Uh-huh. I think I have two more chapters for that one. That one is amazing. I read that one that you told me we can't talk about.
Oh, you
and,
did?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right?
Girl.
I know.
Girl, I saved that
one.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Like yeah. I knew you would like it, too, with, like, the movie reference and the play and everything. Like,
I was picking up on everything and then the little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
So, loved that one. But, yeah. No, I'm planning on probably, once I'm done Money, Power, Glory, I'm going to go on to the baseball one, the masseuse one.
Yeah.
And then, hopefully, my candle will be here by then. And then I'm going to readjust my brain chemistry for Prism.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about. But no, I was thinking we could talk about real quickly just some of our favorite like romantic Steedy fics or ones that mention, you know, Valentine's Day, whatever. No, we're going to miss a bunch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like it's just keeping in the theme of this Valentine's Day episode. And you've been really on that Steedy kick today. So we're going to talk about the most romantic steady fix.
No way. Did I do it again?
You said it like 3 times this episode. But it's fine.
Son of a bitch. Steady, steady, steady. All right, it's my brain. It's never going to leave.
It's because you love Steve more. So you're saying the steedy. And other people are doing the Eddie, the steady, you know?
Yeah. That's what it is. See, look at you making excuses for me.
Yeah, it's okay.
Love you, babe. You're mm-hmm. the best. You're the best. See, that's love, guys.
So, yeah, Cece mostly picked these. I didn't have much to contribute. I contributed one. And I've read all of these, too. So I do like them all. But go ahead and start with one of them. Because, you know, there's just so much good romance in Steady Fix. We love our boys. And these are just ones that, like, make you swoon, like, yes. literally, and just, like, a lot of them do. Like, this is not a comprehensive list of, like, romantic steady fix, but it's some of our favorites. So,
some of our
yeah.
favorites. I decided to kick this off with the actual fic that you recommended to me when we first met in person.
The one that started it all?
The one that started it all. And that would be This Apple Pie Life's Take the Money and Run. Everybody who knows us knows that we are big, big, big fans. It's probably one of my all-time favorites of them going on their road trip and them basically falling in love along the way. And then, of course, that epilogue, that final chapter that basically shows the span of like 20 years in one chapter. And it's so beautifully written. And it's, you know, it starts off as a slow burn of them just deciding to go on this road trip. And it's just so fascinating because the amount of hard work and research and the photos and Easter eggs that this author has crammed in there. But Steve and Eddie are so beautifully written. And with the times that they fall in love with and stuff and the challenges they face. But there are just so many cute and adorable moments. But if I had to pick one moment from this fic, it would probably be when Eddie accidentally cracks his tooth. And this is right on the cusp of them, like, admitting, okay, we have feelings for each other. And he's kind of, like, drugged out because they went to a dentist, like, I believe in Mexico. And he's sleeping in the passenger seat. And Steve basically picks his hand up and kisses it. Oh, my God. Sweet.
Yeah, I love that fic so much. And there's just so many moments where you really like fall in love. And it's a bit of a slow burn with mm-hmm. the road trip. So they're very much just like building their friendship at the beginning. Yeah. So it takes a while for that romance to really kick in. But when it kicks in, it's good. So another one that we wanted to talk about, we had to mention because it has a Valentine's Day theme to it. And yep. that is called, I believe, The Valentine Experience by the great Unironic.
Yep, I love that one.
Oh, man, I need to reread that, like, for Valentine's Day. Like, thank you for reminding me of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this fic is, I think, I'm trying to remember all of the details, but, like, Steve basically takes Eddie on a date to, like, show him how to, like, go on a date.
How to give somebody a great Valentine's yeah. Day experience. Because as Mike says, they're like, well, why doesn't Steve show you? He's probably had more Valentines than anybody yeah. of us combined.
So it's a little fake dating trope, which is always fun. But the fake turns real pretty quickly. And it's just so sweet because, like, the thing I do remember is, like, they're baking cookies. And, like, there's some extra things that happen during baking those cookies, and I think the cookies might get a little burnt, but I mean, worth it.
Remember I found this fic because there was like a meme on Twitter or something, and it was like, when you read a smut scene that goes so hard that you feel like you need a cigarette afterwards,
yeah,
and then it left the link to it, and right yeah. away I'm like, Megan, check this out.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, and then I like, they included like the recipe for the chocolate chip cookies, and oh my gosh. So that's a really good one. Highly recommend, especially for Valentine's Day. So what was yes. the next one you wanted to talk about?
The next one is The Many Ways to Say I Love You by Morning Berries. We are massive Morning Berries fans over here. And this was their first fic I had ever read about them. And basically it's like, I think it's like five or so chapters, and it's Steve's point of view, and then it keeps switching. No, it's Eddie's point of view. Excuse me. It's Eddie's point of view and how Steve is like doing all these little things, because right now they're just friends and they're hanging out, and Steve's kind of like basically moved into the trailer with Eddie helping him like recover. And it's just these, each chapter is like, you know, it's a slow burn at first, like these little things, you know.
Does he wash his hair? Is there hair washing in that one?
He washes his hair. Yeah, gets into the shower because it's right after Eddie's injuries.
Love that.
And Eddie's like, oh my god, what the fuck.
Yeah.
And then it's like it goes to them like, I think Steve like tweaks his back at family video, so Eddie gives him a back massage. Mm-hmm.
And they dress up for Halloween.
They dress up for Halloween, and so many artists have done this, and it's so, so perfect. But Eddie is the devil, and Steve is in an angel costume, so it's like a couple's costume. Mm-hmm. And even then, Eddie's still like, no, we're just friends.
But there's lip gloss involved, and
there's lip gloss. Yeah. God bless you for remembering that. And literally, like, there's a scene where they are going to share Eddie's bed. You know, there's only one bed. And Steve, like, strips down to his underwear. And Eddie's like, I'm having a nervous breakdown right now.
Yeah.
And it pays off. And it's super spicy at the end. But it's just that right bit of pacing and so many hot, wonderful moments. But, like, there are endless fics by that author that just write our boys so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. And then another one that I did want to mention that I always think of, like, for romantic fics is Mushy Stuff by Pizza Bones, which I know
I
you love this
them
one.
You.
Yeah, you told me about this one. So it is, again, where, like, they're just friends. And Steve says to Eddie, like, oh, I'm like a professional boyfriend. Like, I'll show you, like, what it's like to be kind of romanced, basically. And so Steve starts, like, doing all of these things to, like, show Eddie what it, like, because Eddie said he doesn't need all of that mushy stuff, right? So, and then Eddie is quite affected by the mushy stuff, I must say. So it's really sweet and romantic for sure. Like, you're just swooning over Steve romancing Eddie, and like, oh my gosh, so good.
Like, all these authors write them so well, but writing, like, them falling for each other, like, yeah, the smut's amazing and spicy, but just, like, even the slow burns of them just having these cute, like, adorable, like, you know, high-tension moments, chef kiss.
Yeah, so good.
And then the last one that I could think of is from the wildly talented Onion Chiver, who, again, endless fics, but the one that started it all, and this was probably, like, one of the first long that I read that is very popular amongst this community with this ship, but Onion Chiver's You're Divine.
Yeah.
It's a perfect fix-it fic. It just, it's magic, honestly.
Literally,
like it's like you're reading a full-length novel, and it's how, like, you know, whatever happens with season 5, we have You're Divine.
Yeah.
Because it's just so beautifully written, and you know, it is a slow burn, but it's probably one of the best love stories, like, written with these two characters.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. No, it's so good. Like, ugh. I have all the memories of reading that. I need to reread all of those that we just talked about because they're all so good. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's so hard to, like, decide between, like, rereading things and, like, reading new things. It's
new,
like,
stuff,
the constant,
I know,
struggle of a reader, any kind of reader, fic reader, book reader. So
yeah.
All right, well, this was super fun, and as always, we love talking about Steve and Eddie. Steady as you wish.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, so until next week, I guess. Catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side.
Peace.